The pandemic has upended schools for everybody. Some Black families are finding that that may not be such a bad thing.
The school has thought traditionally for a long time for us. And now we only have in Detroit, 16% of our kids reading on grade level by third grade. So if we're not thinking out of the box on how to get kids to learn and how to get them to read and understand and retain what they're learning, then we're doing an injustice.
This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Homeschooling among Black families was on the rise even before COVID-19. Now, as the pandemic forces parents to add words like teacher and year-round daytime babysitter to their resumes, some families are rethinking what school should look like. In Michigan, the number of registered homeschools more than doubled this past fall. So what does homeschooling offer kids, particularly Black kids, that they aren't getting in a traditional school model? Today, we're going to pose those questions to two homeschooling Detroit moms who also guide other families who are new to all this. Salima Ellis is school leader at Universal Minds School of Evolution. Hey, Salima.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
Also today with us is Bernita Bradley. She's the founder of the Engage Detroit Homeschooling Network and a Midwestern regional delegate to the National Parents Union. Bernita, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me, April.
Salima, do you have anything to share about what you've seen parents going through right now? Maybe parents who had never thought about homeschooling before, and just how the dual roles have been posing challenges for them.
Well, one of the things that I notice is that why is there suddenly such a big uptake besides just the pandemic? One of the things that I notice is that our students are still being suspended and expelled from school at extraordinary rates, even though the paradigm of schooling has changed, they're still facing these issues. So I think that has a lot to do with parents deciding that, you know what, maybe it is time to homeschool. And the changes that I see in the students are often that their behavior has improved, home time has improved. It's just a big improvement in their behavior when they get to do it at home, especially as we have parents who are learning how to school, because that's the big thing. A lot of parents don't know how to, we don't know how to. I didn't know how to do homeschool when I first started 4 years ago. After you stop trying to follow the blueprint that you've been given as we grew up in school, for those of us that went to public schools or regular school, and you began to teach at home and you began to come up with your own techniques and you see your child thriving with those techniques, I think that gives us more of a push to say, okay, I can do this. My child is thriving and I can do this. This is way better.
Salima, what were some of the questions that parents were coming to you with in the earlier days of the pandemic? What questions about homeschooling did they have for you?
The biggest question is probably, where do I begin? Mm-hmm. Where do mm-hmm. I begin? We don't know how to often keep record of assignments. We don't understand the preparation that goes into creating assignments for our youth if we're not going to use prepared assignments. I try to get the parent to understand that your home isn't the classroom. The whole city is your classroom. Mm-hmm. So they begin to change their paradigm. They don't know where to begin. There are so many programs that offer arts and crafts and sports, and just I try to teach them, you know, use these other resources at your disposal. Half the time, they probably just don't know where to begin. But for things that you can't teach them yourselves, there are the resources out there to take some of that off their shoulders.
Yes. Bernita, I heard you nodding there. That resonates with what people were asking you.
Yeah, so a lot of parents were just crying out, right? Because it was not, people were like, oh, I am homeschooling. Like, no, you are pandemic schooling. That is the furthest thing from homeschooling. And people were really getting it mixed up, thinking this is what homeschooling looked like, I don't want to do it. But again, it was pandemic school. So we start having families saying, well, what does real homeschooling look like? And so with that, we start finding out, how do you, like she said, how do you create a curriculum? What would that curriculum be based off of? And how do I even get through this? How do I, like, it's a paradigm shift of the mind of a parent. It is totally out of the box. Like, unschooling is something that's like, if you think you're just going to school your kids in your house, you're doing the same thing as the schools do by keeping them in a straight line. But when you realize that if you're in your backyard and your child has a question about the bumblebees flying around, and you decide to say, well, wow, why does that bumblebee look different? You should look that up. And the child goes and look it up, and that turns into a whole exploration. And then the next summer, you got a bumblebee hive in your backyard with your child, or a bumblebee garden, or whatever you want to call it, that your child has decided to cultivate. Then that's education. Education is everywhere all the time. And it's not a specific time of day. It's no 8 to 4 or 7 to 3. It is literally 9 o'clock at night on a Sunday when a little 7-year-old comes and bring her computer to her mom and say, hey, mom, can you do some math problems with me? Like, these are the type of things that we've had parents coming up saying, like posting photos of their kids in the kitchen with them baking pancakes and really going over scientific, like they're this mad scientist in the kitchen learning how to measure the ingredients from scratch and make different type of pancakes. Like, it becomes fun.
This seems like a very important point to make, that the decision to homeschool is not necessarily going easier than sending your kids to a traditional brick and mortar K through 12, that it may actually require more of an investment than parents have made to this point. How do you get them ready for that, Bernita?
Yeah, so that investment is more, but when you think about the investment of sending your child to school and you constantly getting a phone call that, oh, you mom, you need to come get your child because we're putting them out. That investment right there is more strenuous on a parent. Like, that's hard when you are trying to work and you are trying to do things and teachers and educators aren't understanding your child. Like, they're not even taking the initiative to think outside of the box with your child. They just want to make education punitive. So that's a different type of preparation and a different type of, you know, something you're going through. But when it comes down to home, getting us mentally prepared for it is more like bracing ourselves and understanding that this is a journey. And the child really kind of like guides the learning, right? We kind of facilitate in a process that should be intentional with this child.
We've got to take a quick break here. When we get back, Salima and Bernita tell us about the ways that homeschooling can set kids up for success later on. That's in just a minute.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from Kalamazoo College, offering a personalized education that combines critical thinking, curiosity, and creativity. Committed to preparing students for meaningful careers that make a positive impact on the world. More at kzoo.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside Podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Salima, I wanted to ask you, Universal Minds is built around this idea that education should help create and not repair. Could you talk about that model and what it means?
Well, yes. We've had a different age, an epoch during our time, the Bronze Age, the Golden Age, the Silver Age, and now we're at the age of recycle. So we're at an age where the infrastructure is crumbling, and we're basically educating our children, it seems, to repair a broken and crumbling infrastructure. We can't afford to do that anymore. that is not future thinking for our society. And as a homeschooler parent, I get to teach my student a different narrative that says, we're not here to repair, we're here to create. Because when you have a crumbling infrastructure, it's usually going for a reason.
Can you give us a practical example of what that looks like when you put the theory into practice?
Okay. The theory and the practice is that in 2017, I wrote a grant proposal to Baba Malik Ukini, who runs D-Town Farms, to allow us at Inhalation to use his farm. We are growing wildflowers. We were growing all the flowers that entail herbal usage. And the students were to help grow the flowers, learn how to dry them, make teas, herbs, and tinctures. Instead of always going to the doctor, they would get these helpful and useful medical experiences with natural and organic methods of keeping themselves healthy. So not only did they learn how to grow their own healing herbs, they learned how to, we also volunteered on the farm and cleaned up for harvest festivals. So they got volunteering in. They understand that if you want to keep your community clean, they do volunteer work to help clean up their lots. So that's a futuristic way of teaching them instead of saying, just go to the doctor when you don't feel well.
One of the critiques of modern education is that it can be really disconnected from the things that students actually need to know to, you know, to be functional and productive adults in their lives. There are kids who go to traditional K-12 schools who never make it into a college track because, you know, their grades may go off the rails or, you know, they may be treated differently than other students early on. And likewise, it may be that they're expected to sit in a classroom for 8 or 9 hours a day learning things that won't eventually have very much to do with what they will do for a living and the challenges that they will face when they grow up. Bernita, are there some ways that homeschooling can help us address this?
Yeah, so I'll speak to that from two perspectives. So if you think about the Finland model of schools, most of their kids that graduate by the time they're in 11th, they really graduate around 11th grade, 10th and 11th grade. And their last 2 years of school, they are exploring what they love, not just a traditional track to college. In homeschooling, you find what your children are passionate about. We have a mom whose daughters have been making jewelry from old broken up jewelry and purchasing new items. And they've created these beautiful, beautiful bracelets, earrings, and things like that, right? So they're literally collecting jewelry from people in the community who has an old ring or whatever it is that's torn up, making this beautiful jewelry from it. But their mom is not just using it as something, hey, go make jewelry to have some fun. She's using it as a business model for them. They're taking business classes. They're taking financial literacy classes. They are also learning how to save. They're learning economical growth. Like what would it take if I save this money over a course of time and then eventually buy my own machines to make my own jewelry? And what are some other options out here if I wanted to open up a storefront or do I want to do a pop-up? And so it becomes learning. And they're doing that to really get those kids to think, is this something I really might want to do long-term, right? And same thing with my daughter. My daughter does nails and she's like just been exploring nails. So we purchased her online nail course over the last year. So she's evolving with nails. And we're not just saying like, this is something, just buy some nails and tinker with it. No, if you're going to do it, be the best at what you want to do and learn how to do it a professional way. Now, it'll let her know if she really wants to go to nail school, right? Whereas, and these are all non-traditional ways of going to college and getting a degree that can actually make you some real money or a certification, right? But too often, we want to make children only think about being a doctor or only think about being a lawyer. That's fine, because guess what? Most of us, we changed our profession when we got older, too. If you want to be a nail tech today and a brain surgeon in 10 years, I'm good with it, right? But do what makes you happy right now. And it's not like you can't be a brain surgeon 10 years from now. So, yeah, I think it's thinking out of the box. Everything we're doing is thinking non-traditionally.
Salima, how the families that you work with, how do you talk to them about thinking through students' long-term options and really helping their homeschooling relate to the things that they'll be doing when they're beyond school?
That is one of the most difficult things to help parents do, think in long-term options. You have to think on what would add value to your student? What would make your student valuable in the long term in the future? What is it that they're going to be learning? And that's one of the most difficult parts of being a homeschool parent is how do you develop those skills so that you can help your student create and cultivate skills that won't just bring him an income, him or her income, but that will help cultivate their community, their surroundings.
If parents still haven't tried homeschooling, but they're trying to figure out what to do next, we do have a number of schools in Michigan that are already back in person for at least a couple of days a week. But there are a few who are still all online. And if there are parents hearing this right now who are trying to figure out if this is an option for them, Salima, what do you recommend parents think about if they're considering stepping into homeschooling?
I would ask parents to be mindful of their resources. You can always go to Detroit Public Libraries for resources, even for homeschool resources. It is always a great place to start. And even if you're half and half on the fence about homeschooling, you can always start putting in a little something in between teaching your children in between school assignments. There are always things online for parents for resources. All they have Facebook, YouTube, and Detroit Teachers Pay Teachers online. They have great resources and great curriculum. So, you know, don't be afraid to put your foot in that arena.
My guests today have been Salima Ellis of Universal Mind School of Education and Bernita Bradley of the Engage Detroit Homeschooling Network. Ladies, it's been a great pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And that is the Stateside Podcast for today. I'm April Baer. Our executive producer is Laura Weber Davis. Today's show is produced by April Van Buren. Our theme music is by 14KT, additional music by Blue Dot Sessions. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.